Have you noticed, this has just been in recent years, seems like, that everything today is smart. You can drink smart water, right? I mean, you got the smart water. If you so desire, you can drive a smart car. I'm not sure why they call it a smart car. Doesn't look smart to me, but hey, that's what it's called. You can drive a smart car. And you can pick up and you can actually make a phone call if you so desire, or text, or check your email, or get on the internet on your smart phone. Everything's smart today. You can take out your incandescent lights and you can put in a smart light. You can check your time on a smart watch. Everything today is called smart, except for husbands. I'm serious. Everything today is smart except for husbands. Husbands are depicted as the dumbest creatures on earth. Husbands are depicted as lazy oafs. Husbands are depicted as useless, out of date. We don't need these things anymore. You ever notice that? Turn on your television. Try to find a television show that shows a smart husband. Everything else on that show might be smart except for the husband. Why is that? Is that the way God designed for it to be? I'm not talking about what husbands are. I'm not talking about husbands that you know. I'm talking about what was God's design for a husband and a wife in a home relationship. Was it what He wants our society for husbands to be? Our society wants husbands to be dumb. Our society wants husbands to match what you see on television. But that's not the husbands that God has in mind in His Word. We're going to look at one verse tonight, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. And I hope you've got your Bibles tonight, because this verse says that husbands are supposed to be smart. I don't know what kind of husband you are if you're a husband tonight. If you're not a husband and one day you will be, I don't know what kind of husband you will be. But 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, if you're going to be a husband, you better be a smart husband. Some translations have the word knowledge in this verse. Some translations have the word understanding in this verse. We are to be smart. We're to be knowledgeable. We're to be understanding as husbands, because that's the way God designed us. Three things I want us to see tonight about what smart husbands do, about what smart husbands are, about how smart husbands are described in this passage. And if you're a husband tonight, you better get these three things and evaluate yourself. Wives, I'm not asking you to evaluate your husbands tonight. Tonight's job is for husbands to evaluate themselves. To look at this passage and say, am I a smart, based upon God's definition, am I a smart husband? Number one, and everything we're going to see, we're just going to digest, we're going to dissect every little part of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. But the first thing we're going to see is that smart husbands, number one, they house together with understanding. Yes, I use the word house as a verb. They house together with understanding. That's what a smart husband does. Now look, what's the first word? You might have your first word in that verse in your Bible might be the word husbands. But in my Bible, the second word is the word likewise. Or you might have the expression in the same way. What does it mean that husbands are supposed to do something likewise? It says, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding. Likewise what? Likewise says there's something that we're matching. Likewise says there's something you're supposed to be like. Go back to chapter 3 and verse 1. What do you see in chapter 3 and verse 1? Wives, comma, what? Likewise. Wait a minute. Wives likewise, husbands likewise. Likewise what? What are we supposed to be likewise? You put this passage in its context. And in this context, you back up into chapter 2 and verse 11. You put this passage in its context, and in chapter 2 and verse 11, God tells us as Christians, not just husbands, not just wives, all of us as Christians, God tells us that in this world, we are to be different. In this world, we are to be set apart. In this world, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, our conduct is to be holy. Our conduct, another word in verse 12, is our conduct is to be honorable. as Christians in this world, our conduct is to be holy and honorable and set apart from the world. And then you go to verse 12, and verse 12 begins making, chapter 2, verse 12 begins making application of that. Verses 11 and 12 say, here's what you're supposed to do. Have holy and honorable conduct as Christians. And then it's in verse 13 where he begins making application. What's the first word you've got in chapter 2 and verse 13? First word, chapter 2 and verse 13 I've got is the word therefore. You know what that means? That means I've been saying that you are to be set apart. Verse 9 says you're a holy priesthood. You are a chosen generation. You are a different kind of people. You're to have honorable conduct, verse 11 and 12. So verse 13 says, here's the conclusion. Here's what you're supposed to do. Verse 13 of chapter 2 begins with the word therefore, comma. What do you have after the word therefore? Submit. That's the context of chapter 3. Therefore, because we are to have honorable conduct among the world, we are to be people who submit. We don't like that word, but that's a Bible word. In verse 13, we are to submit to those governing authorities. Drop down to verse 18. Servants, be submissive. That's the context of chapter 3. Verse 13 says that all of us as Christians are to submit to the government. Chapter 2 and verse 18 addresses servants. They are to be submissive to their masters. How? Because their conduct is supposed to be honorable. Their conduct is supposed to be different. If you're a servant, you better act differently than every other servant. Why? Because you're a Christian. If you're a citizen of a country, you better act differently than every other citizen. Why? Because you're a Christian. And part of that involves having a submissive heart. Look down in chapter 2 and verse 23. What do we learn about Jesus? When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Why? Because he kept on committing himself to his Father. What did he do? He submitted himself. That's our example. So when you get to chapter 3 and verse 1, wives likewise, what does it say? Be submissive. Oh, we don't like that word. We don't like to talk about wives being submissive. Put it in its context. Guess what? God's telling all of us, be submissive. Christians, chapter 2, verse 13. Servants, chapter 2, and verse 18. Now, husbands and wives in chapter 3. All of us are to have a heart and a lifestyle of submission. And so when you don't look at that word, wives, husbands, don't look at that word and say, oh, well, we don't like submission today. If we don't like submission today, we're not going to like it in eternity either. Because God calls upon all of us as Christians to be submissive. The role that a wife has is to be submissive. And that was talked about last Sunday night. But when you get to chapter 3 and verse 7, husbands, comma, likewise. Likewise what? Be submissive. We are to have, all of us as Christians, a submissive heart and a submissive life. In Ephesians chapter 2, or Ephesians chapter 5, when you begin reading about husbands and wives in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, if you back up right before that, the Bible tells us to submit to one another. Not just wives that have that responsibility, it's Christians that have that responsibility to one another. So here's what a smart husband knows. Smart husband knows that it's not just the wife's responsibility to be submissive. It is every Christian's responsibility to be submissive. So here's the first thing. That was just kind of an introductory comment, all right? That was just kind of an inner. But what do smart husbands do? They house together with understanding. How do we know that? Here's what he knows about a successful marriage. He is to live together with his wife. Do you see the word dwell? Dwell with them with understanding. That word dwell is a compound word in the Greek that takes the word with and it combines it with the word live, dwell, to live with, to dwell with. And in fact, that the word that we get the word dwell from is the Greek word for house. That's why I use the word house in a verb form. The word that's used there for dwell or to live is the word for house. Husbands, you are to house together with your wife. And not just once, not just twice, not just in the past tense. This is in the present tense that says you better keep on housing yourself together with your wife. Well, you don't know her though. You don't know what she does. You don't know how she treats me. God says house together with your wife. Same house, same room, same bed. Husbands have a responsibility. Not just to house together, husbands have a responsibility to be to the head of the house. They have a responsibility to direct the house and to be a part of that family. And so a smart husband knows that in order to be successful in my home and in my marriage, I've got to live together. I've got to house together with my wife. But notice what else he says. That a successful godly marriage is going to require proper knowledge. Dwell with them with understanding. Uh-oh. What are you supposed to know? What are you supposed to understand about your wife? Because there's a lot of us who have been married for a while and we still don't understand each other. We're still trying to figure out, what does this mean? I'm supposed to dwell with her with understanding? Well, you've never been married to my wife then, have you? Because if you were married to my wife, you know there's no such thing as understanding. What does this mean? Understanding what? Is this talking about merely just understanding your wife? Or is this talking about dwelling with her with knowledge of God's will for your marriage? When you get married, guess what you need to understand? You need to understand, what is God's will for my marriage? God's will for my marriage is that a husband would leave, a man would leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and those two would become one flesh. Do I understand that? Do I know that? Do I live that? Do I understand the nature of marriage? Not as it's defined by the world. If we follow the nature of marriage as it's defined by the world, what would our marriage look like? What would our homes look like? What would husbands and wives look like? But I need to come back to this book and say, okay, I need to understand, how does God want me to understand marriage and what He wants my marriage to be? Dwell with her with understanding. Understanding God's will. Understanding God's design for marriage. And then you better understand your wife. You better know who she is. Know her. Know what she likes. What she doesn't like. Know what her heart is. Know what hurts her. Know what brings her joy. How much time do you spend getting to know and to understand your wife? Have you ever noticed that women are different than other women? Not all women are created equal. I know that our country says that all men are created equal. That's fine. But not all women are created equal. They're all a little bit different. And you might say, oh, I've got a pretty good idea. I understand women pretty good. Do you understand your wife? Do you know her? Some of you, Henry, you've been married for 65, 66. How many years? Maybe I should ask Baritha how long you've been married. 65 years? You're still learning. Still figuring everything out. Because This verb here is in the present tense, which means it doesn't ever stop. You keep on trying to understand her. You keep on trying to get to know her and what makes her unique from everyone else. You didn't marry everyone else. You married her. You better know her. You better understand her. And then as a husband, you better understand what are my responsibilities. Dwell with her with understanding. Understanding what? Understanding what are my roles? What are my duties? What are my responsibilities as a husband? And again, not as defined by society. Not as depicted on television. If you become a husband the way that husbands are depicted on television, you will be a failure. Which husband are you going to look like on television? There's not a single one out there worth your while in depicting. You know what husband you need to look like? You need to look like the husband in this book named Jesus, who is to the church a husbandman, and the church is his bride. If we have anyone that we need to look to for our example, there it is, the kind of husband that I need to be. So here's first thing. We'll get through these next two a little bit quicker. But the first thing about smart husbands, you're going to be a smart husband? Smart husbands house together with understanding. Things happen in the home. They stay in the home. Feelings get hurt in the home. They stay in the home. They continue to dwell there and they continue to do what is necessary in order to hold their family together. But second thing we see in this verse is what smart husbands do. Smart husbands honor their wives with due respect. They honor their wives with due respect because he knows that's what makes a successful marriage. A smart husband knows that a successful marriage requires giving honor. Look at the verb that's in here. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, receiving honor from your wife. Is that the verb that's there? That's the verb we expect. That's the verb we want there. Honey, you better give me the honor that is due unto me. Is that what that verse says? That the husband, okay, honey, you're not giving me enough honor. It's not receive. That's not the verb here. The verb here is to give, to impart, to make sure that she understands the honor that is due unto her and the respect and that is to be rendered unto her. It's interesting that the word that's used here for honor, the Greek word that's used here for honor, is translated in chapter 2, and I think it's in chapter 2 and verse 7, is translated in chapter 2 and verse 7 with the English word precious. How are we supposed to treat our wives? Well, chapter 3, verse 7, with honor. You put that word in its overall definition, we're to treat her as precious. Sometimes this Greek word in other verses in the New Testament is translated with the word price. Somebody said, yeah, that makes sense. You know, she cost me so much money, I'm going to use the word price to talk about. No. Not talking about how much she cost you. It's talking about how much value she has to you. Giving honor, giving precious honor and value to her, making sure she understands how much she is worth to you, how much she means to you. And isn't that what the book of Proverbs says? Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. Not talking about monetary things. Husbands, if we're going to be smart, we need to make sure that we are doing what we can to make sure our wives know how much we value them and how much worth and value they bring to our lives and to our homes. And again, this verb, giving, is a present tense verb. It's not just, well, I told her I loved her when we got married, and if it ever changes, I'll just let her know when that day comes. No. It's not that I did something in the past, and she better figure it out that it was good enough back then, and it's just going to have to be good enough for today. I keep on giving. I keep on rendering. I keep on imparting and showing her the value that she has to me. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, it says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. But doesn't just find a good thing in the wife, but the verse goes on to say, and obtains favor from the Lord. When was the last time that you let your wife know that she was your favor from the Lord? That she was your gift from God? That's what a smart husband does. Smart husband honors his wife with the due respect to him that is due unto her. But not only that, he understands that a successful marriage isn't just about giving honor, but is working together as a team. How do we see that in this verse? That we're working together in our marriage and we're working together as a team? Because it says giving honor to the New King James has the word wife here. Giving honor to the wife. Some of your translations don't have the word wife. They just have giving honor to the woman. And the reason is because the Greeks did not have a word for husband. Greeks did not have a word for wife. The Greeks just used the word man and the word woman. And the context would define whether it was talking about a husband or a wife. But it's interesting that the Bible says, husbands, you are to give honor to the woman. When you're married, you form a team. And guys, you got a girl on your team. You know, back in school, when you were a guy, if you had a girl on your team, Jeremy, just don't answer it out loud. Just think in your head. Was Jermaine, did you want a girl? When you went out to recess and you had the guys playing, did you want a girl? Don't shake your head. Don't ever shake your head to what I'm asking you, okay? But was that a good thing? Guys, when you got married, you got a girl on your team. That's the way God designed it. If you got anything else on your team, that's not the way that God designed it. You got a girl on your team, and guess what your responsibility is? To be the captain of your team and to work together as a team, giving honor not to some other man, but giving honor to the woman who is on your team. And how does the Bible describe her? Don't look at the W word first. I want you to look, and some translations don't have the word vessel, but the New King James has it. You need to give honor to her as to a vessel. Husbands, you need to understand that if she's a vessel, guess what you are? You're a vessel too. There's probably a song in there, right? I'm a vessel, you are a vessel. I don't know. But we're all, when you get married, it's not just the woman who's a vessel. The husband's a vessel. Well, what does that mean? We are vessels inside the house of God. We're vessels. We are, use the word instruments. We're instruments in the hands of God. She's an instrument in the hand of God. I'm an instrument in the hand of God. She's a vessel in the household of God. I'm a vessel in the household of God. Guess what that means? That means we're both equal in the eyes of God. That doesn't mean that one vessel is more valuable or better than the other. We're just both vessels. We're just both instruments. We better be both instruments in the hands of God. Equal instruments. But what about the W word that comes before the word vessel? You give honor to her as to the weaker vessel. Does that verse say that she's weak? No. It does not say that she is weak. It says that she is weaker. It's just a comparative term. It's not some term that is denigrating. It's not saying, oh yeah, well, you know, the woman, she's just weak. God's not saying that. God's saying you're both vessels. You're both vessels in my house. You're both instruments in my hand. And one of you is stronger than the other, and one of you is weaker. And this, don't misunderstand. This isn't talking about spiritually. This isn't talking about intellectually. This isn't talking about emotionally or morally. This is talking about physically. That one is usually, somebody says, well, my wife's a lot stronger than me. Fine, that's fine and dandy. But for the most part, the woman is the weaker physically vessel. Husband, what does that mean? Does that mean I get to shake my, oh, look at, you're the weaker. You're just so sorry. You're not as strong as I am. God's not saying you get to shake your finger at her. God's pointing the finger at you, husbands, saying if you're going to be a smart husband, what you got to do? You got to take care of your wife because you're on a team together. Everybody on the team is needed. Everybody on the team is equal. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says that when we are in Christ, we are one and we are all equals in the eyes of God. Husbands and wives are equals in the eyes of God, even though they're different. The word weaker does not mean inferior. Please get that thought out of your head. If that's in your head, throw it away. Doesn't mean she's less. Doesn't mean she's inferior. Just means she has a different role than you do. But everybody's needed on the team, aren't they? Go back and think about basketball teams, professional basketball teams that you've known. And you go back, and you go back to Michael Jordan. Well, except for Michael Jordan, he probably could have carried the whole team by himself and just beat everybody else. So we'll put Michael away. But you go back and you think about the days of same time frame. Who was with the Jazz? Was that Karl Malone? Do you remember Karl Malone playing for the Jazz? Do you remember who the point guard was? John, look at Jimmy. Look at this trivia buff over here's John Stockton, short little white guy playing out there on the basketball court. Guess what Karl Malone would have been without John Stockton? Nothing. Not a single thing. Karl played in the middle. Karl was the big man. He was stronger than Stockton. But guess who Karl needed? He needed John. That's what made them a team, is they learn to work together as a team on that court to win games. Husbands, you want to be smart? Learn to work together as a team with your wife. Don't be on separate teams. If you're on separate teams in your house, nobody's going to win. Both teams are going to lose that game. You need to work together as a team. Be the captain of the team. And don't just put your wife on the bench. Don't just say, oh, you ride the bench and I'll take care of everything. You work together, because that's what a smart husband does. All right, final thing. Smart husband houses together with his wife with understanding. Smart husband is going to honor his wife with the due respect that's due unto her. And then here's what a smart husband knows. Smart husband knows that he is an heir together with his wife. H-E-I-R. He is an heir together with his wife. Two quick things about this. Here's what a smart husband knows about a successful marriage when it comes to being heirs together. Smart husband knows that the first thing he better do when he is going to get married is he better choose an heir to marry. Look at this word, heirs. Peter is writing to a Christian couple, and he says, you are heirs together of the grace of life, of heaven, of eternal life. You are heirs of heaven. You're heirs together. You know what you got to be to be heirs together? To be heirs of God together, both of you have to be an heir of God. What does that mean? Both of you have to be a child of God. What does this verse say about who a man, a smart man, would marry? Smart man who's an heir of God, when he gets ready to marry, he needs to go and look for an heir to marry. Because if he marries somebody who is not an heir of God, then they are not joint heirs of the grace of life. Doesn't automatically make you an heir of God because you marry a Christian. You must yourself be an heir. Young men, one day there's going to be a woman lucky enough to marry you. Ooh-wee, won't that be good? And when you're looking for that lucky lady who's going to be yours, you better look for someone who's just like you, an heir of God, a child of God. Because what an heir of God is going to do in the second part, he doesn't just choose an heir, but these heirs focus on going to heaven together. I don't know, husbands and wives, I don't know where you spend most of your focus. Maybe you spend a lot of your focus on your bills and on your checkbook and on your bank account and on your credit cards. Maybe you spend a lot of time focusing on your finances. Maybe that's where you spend a lot of time talking. Maybe you spend a lot of time talking about your kids, family planning, what we're going to do with our children, with our grandchildren. What are we going to buy for our great-grandchildren this coming Christmas? I don't know what you spend a lot of your time doing together. But when you are heirs together of the grace of life, first and foremost, you better be focusing on going to heaven together. There's nothing more important than that. And so a smart husband is going to look at his marriage relationship, and he's going to recognize that he is a joint heir. Look at this. That as being heirs together of the grace of life. Some translations might have the word fellow heirs or joint heirs, meaning that you are equal heirs of eternal life. That's what God's grace gives us, is eternal life in heaven. And so husbands, your job, your number one job, is to help your wife get to heaven. When you have children, now you're number two and you're number three and you're number four and you're number five and you're number six and you're number seven. How many kids you all got? You're number eight, you're number nine. Job is to help your kids get to heaven. But your number one job is to help your fellow heir get to heaven. And if you allow anything else to interfere with that, look at the end of the verse. If you allow anything else to interfere with your number one job of being heirs together, of going to heaven and getting to heaven together, then even your prayers will be hindered. Word means interrupted. They'll be cut in on. Your prayers will not even do what they need to do if you allow other things in this world to interfere with your number one job of getting to heaven and getting your wife there. I've been counting during this sermon, and if I've counted right, in here tonight, there are 670 husbands. I may be off a couple. I double counted. I don't know. I lost count somewhere. There was a 6 and a 7 somewhere in that number. 670, I think. 670 husbands here tonight. How many don't raise your hand? How many smart husbands are there? How many smart husbands are there who are housing themselves together with their wife with understanding? Who are giving honor to their wife as one who's due respect, high respect, and understands that I'm an heir together with her of the grace of God, and I'm going to focus on going to heaven with her. You know the good thing? That if somebody's not so smart, Jerry, I think they can get smart, right? I've seen a television show that says you can get smart, right? So I think if you're not smart, you can get smart. You can make changes in your life. Husbands, if you're not where you need to be, you can make changes to be not smart according to the world standards. Forget that. Smart according to God's standards. Somebody says, I'm not a husband. This lesson has nothing to do with me. This lesson has everything to do with us. Put it in its context. What am I supposed to be as a Christian? I am supposed to live a godly life different from every other person on this earth, submissive to God and to all those around me to help them to see that I'm a child of God. And in so doing, what do? I am to try to give understanding and the benefit of the doubt to those people who are around me and grow in my knowledge of what their needs are and where they are in their lives. I am to give honor. If you back up to chapter 2 and verse 17, you go to chapter 3 and verse 7, oh, I'm supposed to give honor to my wife. What does chapter 2 and verse 17 say? Honor all people. Guess what? This has to do with all of us. We're to give honor and respect to every person we come across and strive to help our fellow heirs, whether I'm a husband or not, to help my fellow heirs of the grace of God to enter into heaven with me. Are you a child of God tonight? Are you an heir of God tonight? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that with all of your heart? Having that faith in your heart, have you and are you ready right now to repent, turn away from the sin that's in your life. Say, I need to stop doing what's wrong. I need to start doing what's right. And having made up your mind to do that, confess the faith that's in your heart and be baptized for the remission of every single one of your sins. Have you ever done that? If you've never done that, you can make that decision tonight. Give your life to the Lord. Give your life to Jesus, who will be more faithful to you than any person on this earth ever will be. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never cheat on you. He'll never treat you wrong. You give your hand to Him, He'll walk down the aisle of life together with you faithfully every day if you'll walk with Him. You need to give your life to the Lord tonight. Why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.